Richard Hertel of Champaign was drafted into the Army in 1968 and served in Vietnam from 1969 through 1970. When he left for Vietnam, he was a new dad. His wife had just given birth to their first child, and he missed his family immensely. But for the most part, he stayed pretty safe while in country. As a personnel clerk and chapel organist on an Army base, he never saw combat. However, while on R&R leave in Bangkok, Thailand, Richard had an experience that changed his life forever.
The locations of R&R, rest and relaxation hotels that were supported by the government, were basically treated by most GIs as an opportunity to have sex for 7 days. And many of the GIs did exactly that. When GIs went on R&R, they frequently went in pairs, because it's just safer. And I went with the man who shared living quarters with me. It wasn't more than 20 minutes after we got in our room that we had a knock on the door, and there was a lady of the evening making herself available. I don't remember at all what the woman said, but she was young, she was beautiful, and the way she was dressed spoke volumes. I tried to explain to her I was married, I was not interested. That didn't necessarily put her off. My roommate pretty much took over and said, "Well, yeah, come on in." And I pretty much said, "I'm leaving." And that's what happened. A friend from the United States who was teaching English in the Peace Corps just outside of Bangkok, we had arranged in advance that she and her boyfriend would meet me. And they did show up at the hotel and said, "Let's get out of here." I said, "Yes, let's get out of here. I really didn't like the atmosphere." We went by bus to Bang San, which was on the Gulf. It was wonderful. Fresh fruit, the kind that you can't get here in the United States. A very relaxed atmosphere. We went sailing one day and just walked along the beach and just talked. We rented two beach houses. Diane, who was her name, had one of her adult students come and join them. So the two of them stayed in one room, and I stayed in the room with her boyfriend. And we shared a bed, which was difficult for me because I have never shared a bed with a man. And it was, okay, whatever I'm feeling, I cannot act on it. It gave me a lot to think about.
Richard went back to the base, but in a few months, it was time for him to leave Vietnam.
Any GI who gets close to the date where they're going to leave, they're called short at that point, you look forward to it, and yet you're a little apprehensive because you think, well, if something bad's going to happen, it's going to happen the last day before I leave. But nothing happened. Just getting on that plane was like, oh, it's almost like being back home. My life has been preserved. All right, so what am I going to do with this? I was on the plane on the way back to the United States, feeling that I had fulfilled some responsibility, that I could be more confident with what I felt. That was just the beginning of opening that door. In 1973, we moved as a family here to Champaign-Urbana. I got involved, obviously very, very heavily involved in working my degree, and got a soloist job at a local church. And it just happened that the director of that church choir was a gay man, and he was out. He was one of the first people I knew who was openly gay, and I thought, maybe that's not so bad. I had all my life done what the church, my family, and society had told me to do, which is to get married and have children. Well, I had done that. And it clearly was not me. It took a while to accept that.
Several years later, Richard came out and got a divorce from his wife.
After our separation, I did meet a man with whom I've had a relationship for 35, 37 years. We went through this civil union in 2011 when that became legal. And then in 2014, we were married. So yes, I've had a long-term relationship with someone that I expect to live with the rest of my life. I didn't feel as though my being drafted in my service in Vietnam was a positive thing back in that day. But looking back, I feel that it caused a certain amount of growth in me that has been very important. I wasn't grateful for the way it got done, but in the end, it was a positive experience in my life.
You can learn more about Richard Hurdle on this website. Our segment was produced by me, Kimberly Cronick, and John Facile. Interviews by Caleb Burns and Viza Shahab. Featuring music by Joshua Abrams, Curtis Heath, and Travis Dunsmuir. As well as the Amazon Chorus, singing a song composed by Deborah Doherty. The selection of Thai music was from the record label Sublime Frequencies.